Good afternoon. Thank you all for still being here at 5 o'clock in Las Vegas, which is clearly time for a drink. But you're here, and I really appreciate that. I also really appreciate the opportunity that eOrganic has provided to us students to attend the ASH conference. This is my first time, and it's been an incredible experience. My name is Tyler Mason. I'm a PhD candidate in the Department of Horticulture and Landscape Architecture at Colorado State University. And the title of my presentation is Rapid Burn Down, Capric and Caprylic Acid for Weed Management in Organic Vegetable and Specialty Crop Production. We've been evaluating Capric Caprylic Acid as a non-synthetic herbicide over the past 2 years, and I'm excited to be sharing the details of that study with you today, but also the information from this presentation will soon be available on eOrganic in an article format too. I'll talk to you today about how an herbicide can be OMRI approved, how much it costs, I'm really glad I put that in there now, if it's effective, and some of the details regarding its application. So I just want to draw your attention to this picture in the lower right-hand corner. It's an untreated sweet corn plot that, as you can tell, is full of weeds, by intention, of course. So weeds are an issue in organic production and vegetable crop systems, among other systems, and farmers need tools that they can rely on to handle those. And some of this information might find its way useful to a farmer who's developing their organic system plan for the upcoming year. This is a list of non-synthetic herbicides. We've been as a scientific community, we've been evaluating non-synthetic herbicides for quite some time. And acetic acid in the top left corner is the gold standard. But that might end up being really fool's gold, and I'll explain why here in just a minute. Apple cider vinegar is also derived from acetic acid, although at a lower percentage. You can see clove oil in black and wintergreen in bright blue. Both of those are essential oils, derived from essential oils. Caprylic acid on the bottom left and capric acid in bright green on the right are fatty acid-derived non-synthetic herbicides. So how can an herbicide be OMRI approved? The list that I just showed you are examples of OMRI approved herbicides that are allowable with restrictions. OMRI stands for the Organic Materials Review Institute, and it's a third party that evaluates inputs for organic systems. Allowable with restrictions means that you've incorporated other cultural practices that are appropriate for organic production. In our case, that involved planting cover crops, making crop rotations, implementing plastic mulch, tilling, cultivating, and all of those steps were things that we documented as part of our organic system plan before we reached for the sprayer. First, I want to draw your attention to this archaic piece of equipment, which is a wheeled stirrup hoe that we've been using to cultivate our weeds, as I mentioned, as a cultivation step. So this is a comparison of post-emergent, non-selective, non-synthetic herbicides. Cinnamon oil is derived from cinnamaldehyde, and that's a cell membrane disruptor. Similarly, clove oil is a cell membrane disruptor, or you may have heard of it as eugenol. Its efficacy is limited. Apple cider vinegar, similarly, its efficacy is limited. Acetic acid is a desiccant herbicide with a mode of action. It's 20 to 25% acetic acid, and it's effective on young weeds. By young weeds, I mean 4 inches and younger, 4 inches and less, which provides a narrow time window if you're wanting to make a successful application in your field before the weeds get out of control. Recently, as of 3 years ago, a product was released called Suppress Herbicide EC. It's available through Westbridge Agricultural Products. It's derived from caprylic acid and capric acid. It has a desiccant mode of action, and we've observed efficacy as high as 9 inches for weed control. The fact that we've seen over twice the efficacy of caprylic capric acid compared to acetic acid at a lower cost, which I'll show you here in just a minute, is really what makes this product very exciting and interesting potential tool. This is the product label. Suppress Herbicide EC provides effective control of annual and perennial broadleaf weeds and grasses. It works best on newly emerged weeds, ideally those that are 6 inches and less in height. It's approved for use in and around all food crops. As you can see, this is a long list of crops in which it could be applied in or around. We've evaluated it in sweet corn and applied it also to organic pinto beans. And I'll talk to you today about the sweet corn project that we've been evaluating. First, I just want to mention, though, the active ingredients. Caprylic acid is an octanoic acid. It's a C8 fatty chain acid. It's found in goat's milk, hence the picture of the goat. It's in field soil. Its half-life is 3 days. It's also derived from capric acid, which is decanoic acid, a C10 fatty chain acid. It's soluble in most organic solvents. That's an important point to make, because when you're applying this herbicide, you'll need constant agitation to keep it in solution. It's found capric acid is found naturally in coconut and palm kernel oil, and it's a white crystalline solid with a rancid odor. I applied it just a few days ago before I left for the conference, and my crew can attest to the funky smell. When we first heard about this product, we evaluated on weeds behind our greenhouse, and you can see the desiccation that's occurred to curly dock, dandelion, and Canada thistle. These pictures were taken 2 days after treatment. We applied it at a rate of 9% solution by volume, which is the highest labeled rate. We didn't just want to know that we could kill weeds. We wanted to evaluate this as a tool, as part of an organic system. And we knew that sweet corn is a tough crop in that it can withstand chemical and physical injury and continue to grow and produce a yield. So we evaluated a direct spray to sweet corn at the four-leaf stage and the two-leaf collar stage. The four-leaf collar stage, you can notice some desiccation to the lower leaves. And then at the two-leaf stage, we observed lodging and subsequent death. So it was an important opportunity for us to realize that there's a right growth stage at which an effective application can be made to not affect your sweet corn crop. We compared a direct spray to a simulated shielded spray and a no spray, and observed no significant differences in vegetative dry weights. By simulated shielded spray, imagine if you were to take a round trash can and turn it upside down, put a sprayer in the middle of it, and as that trash can is moved through the field, it brushes the crop to the side and allows you to make an effective application right to the base of the plant. So building on this, we took our information to the field and conducted a randomized complete block design with 3 replicates with appropriate individual plot sizes and buffer. Our treatments were a weedy check, as you saw earlier in the picture, a weed-free check, hand-weeded once at the 4-leaf, 5-leaf collar stage, acetic acid applied once at that same stage, and capric caprylic acid applied once at that same growth stage. We use sweet corn cultivar Nirvana. Nirvana was a top performing cultivar based on previous cultivar trials at Colorado State University. We used a 1 square meter quadrat to assess the percent weed cover by species. We quantified count and weight of marketable ears. We used a solo backpack tax sprayer to make our application, a stirrupo, as you saw earlier, and a stopwatch to record our time for economic analysis. This table shows the treatment plots of when we made our applications and at what rate we made those applications. The untreated weedy check, of course, received no method for weed control and no concentration either. The hand weeded check was weeded weekly with a stirrupo every week. Hand weeded once at V4, V5, a stirrupo applied at that one growth point or at that one growth stage. And then we made our non-synthetic herbicide applications at that same stage. At a rate of 5 gallons per 1,000 square foot with a backpack sprayer, we applied the highest labeled rate for acetic acid undiluted. With capric caprylic acid, the same rate, with a backpack sprayer at 9% solution by volume, which again is the highest labeled rate. I just want to mention that this project was conducted at the Agriculture Research and Development and Education Center in Fort Collins, Colorado, where the elevation is 5,003 feet. So we're looking at a picture of the acetic acid treatment one day after treatment, and you can see that there's some desiccation to the upper canopy of the leaves, but you'll notice the bright green underneath, the meristems the secondary meristems will continue to grow. And we likely don't have enough weed control. 2 weeks after application, we see 56% weed control. We'll compare this to capric caprylic acid one day after treatment is providing 78% weed control 14 days after treatment. The one day after treatment is when the picture was taken. So we can see wonderful death and destruction of field bindweed. I do want to draw your attention to the fact that we observed lodging and death to plants that were younger than the V4 stage. So looking at the results, the untreated weedy check had 0% weed control and zero associated costs. The acetic acid treatment at 5 gallons per 1,000 square foot exhibited 56% weed control and an associated cost for 1,000 square feet of $171. Caprylic capric acid, in comparison, exhibited 78% weed control at nearly half the cost of acetic acid. And the hand-weeded weed-free check exhibited 96% weed control 14 days after treatment and the highest associated cost at $279 per 1,000 square feet. We observed no statistical significant differences between yield regarding the number of ears that were produced. But interestingly, we did observe an increase in the size of the ear for the capric caprylic acid, which was significantly higher than the untreated check. So same number of ears, but a larger ear. As I mentioned, we also applied it to organic pinto beans. I want to draw your attention to the clean row in the middle. That's where we made our application. And we'll compare that to the adjacent rows along the side where you can see field bindweed is still growing. I want to make sure that there's time for questions. So I'm gonna leave this slide up, but first I want to acknowledge the Colorado Department of Agriculture for their support, and my department, the Horticulture and Landscape Architecture Department at Colorado State University, and of course my advisor, Dr. Mark Uchansky, and our wonderful crew. Is there time for questions?
Yes, you have 2 minutes.
Great. Fool's gold. Yeah. I've applied it in sweet corn and onions, and observed similar level of weed control. But the problem is the weeds grow through it. So you saw the picture of the acetic acid treatment, and it provides some weed control, but not enough over the long run. And that combined with the expensive price tag makes me question whether or not it's the standard that it should that it's held to. Yeah.
I got two questions. Did you include
No, we didn't use any adjuvants.
Okay, because now I know that Suppress now they recommend you include the BioLink in that. I think you can get your FLC up.
And that's the next step, is to figure out whether water acidifiers are needed, or whether products like OroBoost, an adjuvant, would help improve its efficacy. But this was an initial glance to see what kind of damage could occur to the sweet corn crop, and what kind of weed control we could achieve with just Suppress alone. Yeah.